Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas, Dr. Brooke Goldner. Thank you for being with us on the show, Brooke.
Thank you.
Dr. Goldner, could we start out by asking you how you got involved in veganism?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, it's actually a long story. It starts back when I was 12 years old. There was our neighbor in Long Island, New York, was the head of the Vegetarian Society of Long Island. And back then, we'd never even heard of being vegetarian. You know, that was back in the late 80s, I'll say. I don't have to age myself too much. But and so he came over actually for my birthday party, and he sat down with my family and started talking about factory farming after the party was over and everyone had eaten their roast beef and everything, you know. And it was the first time any of us had ever heard that. And he handed my dad a book by John Robbins called Diet for a New America.
Oh, yeah.
Probably a lot of people have heard that one. Yeah. And so my father read the book, and he decided to go vegetarian. Back then, vegetarian was a radical thing. I didn't know anyone who was vegan. But he decided to go vegetarian, and he handed the book to my mother, and she got on board, and he handed the book to me. And at 12 years old, I read that, and that was it. So from 12 years old, I was vegetarian, and I don't know why the dairy and egg part didn't register, or my parents didn't make it an issue, so I never realized that there was problems, that animals were being hurt for that. And so I've lived that way thinking I put quotes around ethical vegetarian because I now think that the dairy and egg industry is the cruelest of all.
Yeah.
But I really believe in that. And I actually have a friend from middle school that said she's vegetarian because I gave her a pita packet at 14, which I don't remember doing, but I guess I had those in my pocket back then. So I've been an activist for animals since I was a child. And
wow.
It wasn't until I moved to California when I was doing my residency at UCLA Harbor, and I went to Animal Acres Animal Sanctuary with my family, and at the time I had a one-year-old son, and another family was there, and they asked me if we were vegan, and I didn't really know what the difference was. I said, well, vegetarian, it's the same thing, right? And he goes, no, it's not the same. So I went home that night, and I Googled cruelty and dairy, and I sobbed and sobbed. At the time, I was nursing my one-year-old son.
Oh.
And so it was very real to me, the idea of my baby being torn from my breast and, you know, the screaming and cries of the mother cows. It was just unbearable, unbearable. And at the same time, my son was going through issues because at 1 year old, my pediatrician, which I try not to be a doctor that questions my doctor, you know, I try to find someone I can trust and go with it. And my pediatrician suggested that he should be supplementing with cow milk at that time. And he was still breastfeeding, but he was, you know, I started giving him some cow milk. And I asked him what the research was that supported that, and he didn't know. So I was kind of trying to find it at the same time. Turns out there's none.
Except that done by the dairy industry has quite a bit of research on how good they are.
Yeah, there's really nothing, which is, you know, that's a whole other issue because I, you know, I'm a Western medical doctor, and it was drilled into my head that everything we do is based on evidence-based medicine. You have to have evidence. And yet there are practices that are passed down from older doctor to younger doctor without really any explanation of why, except this is how we do it. And what had happened with my son is he had become anemic. He was perfectly healthy, and then he became anemic. His iron was low. And I asked the doctor why. And he goes, oh, it just happens to all 8 kids around this age. Well, it turns out it happens to all kids that age that start cow milk. It's the most common side effect of drinking cow milk is your kid becomes severely anemic.
Wow.
So what do? They give them iron supplements. I didn't want to give them iron supplements. The side effect of your teeth turn yellow and all this. I said, I don't want to do this. So it was all happening at the same time. So after reading about those cows, all the dairy was in the trash the next day. And so my son was off of it too. And when he went for his next checkup, his blood tests were normal. The anemia was gone. And so that really opened my eyes to both at the same time. You know, this message that keeps coming back over and over again is that when we do what's right for the animals and the planet, it's actually what's best for our own bodies as well. And so it really has just been part of this whole, growth for me as a person where I've realized that, you know, this path to health and wellness involves the health and well-being of the animals and the planet as well.
You had quite a number of health issues when you were younger. Can you tell us about your experience with lupus and how you got rid of it?
Yes, absolutely. So most people kind of stall out as soon as you say got rid of it because lupus, according to Webster Medicine, is an incurable disease. It's a disease where your body can no longer recognize what belongs to you and what's an invading bacteria or virus that's going to hurt you. And it's caused by massive amounts of inflammation that cause the immune system to become confused and non-functional. And so what happened to me as a vegetarian, or I call cheesetarian, I became very sick. You know, I'd already been, you know, because some people say vegetarian's a healthy diet, and it's not, unless you're actually vegan, or you just don't like dairy or eggs very much. So for me, at 16 years old, I started getting severe arthritis, and I didn't know it was arthritis at the time, but horrible pains traveling through my joints that made it hard to just walk up the steps to get to second period or hold a pencil. And at the same time, I had this rash across my face, and, you know, I thought maybe it was just part of being a teenager, you know, getting some weird acne or something. Everything seemed unconnected, you know, and I started getting migraines, too. So bad that, you know, my mom once had to take me home in the middle of a dinner out because I just was in so much pain I couldn't see straight. And she had to keep stopping the car so I could vomit just from the pain. And so obviously there's something pretty wrong with me. And you know, my dad called a doctor and met her in the ER, and it turned out that I had something called lupus. And at the time, you know, I was more concerned about the rash and the pain, but they were more concerned that my kidney function was not good on my blood test. So I had an emergency kidney biopsy, and it turned out I was in stage 4 kidney failure because the lupus was attacking my kidney as if it was an invading bacteria. Wow. And it was doing a really good job of killing it. Jeez. And that's what happens with lupus. Is it, you know, the common symptoms are arthritis and rashes, but what's happening internally is that it's actually attacking organs. And I have clients from around the world that I help recover from lupus, and some of them it's their brain or their heart, kidneys, lungs. It could be anywhere. And it's just terrifying. And, you know, all we can do really is use aggressive medications to try to shut off the immune system, which in itself is dangerous because your immune system also helps you fight disease. So it's, you know, and you know, lupus is chronic and debilitating, meaning that you have it for life and it gets worse over time. And most people with lupus, they either die, women usually die in their 20s in childbirth if they attempt to have children. You know, others will die usually from organ failure or, you know, something like that by their 40s or 50s. So it's really, it's a disease that takes young people. And it's really sad. And when I was diagnosed, no one had ever heard of it. But now when I give talks, everyone in the room knows someone with lupus. And it uh-huh. just shows that people are getting sicker and sicker, younger and younger. And we're really at a crux here in our lives and in our country where we've got to make a change or children are not going to outlive their parents.
So when you got the horrible news about lupus, what was the doctor's perspective on how you go about trying to treat it?
Well, the doctor gave me 6 months to live when I was diagnosed.
Oh, my God.
It was really, with the kidney failure, they said that they didn't do something extreme, that I had 6 months to live, or at best I'd be on dialysis waiting for a kidney transplant. So he recommended, you know, I was on the high-dose steroids that most people get to suppress immune function, but that wasn't going to be enough. And so he put me on an experimental treatment where they use chemotherapy to shut off your immune system. And a lot of people usually hear about chemotherapy because you use it for cancer, but the side effect is that your immune system doesn't work properly and you get sick. Well, they were using it intentionally to what I call reboot my system, shut off the immune system and then let it restart and see if I could go back to better functioning. And at the time, they didn't know how long they would need to use it for. It's actually a treatment that they use nowadays, but it's used, you know, for maybe a couple weeks, and then you get rest. But for me, I was experimental, and they didn't know. So I had chemotherapy for 2 years. 2 years. Yeah. And it was, I mean, from 16 to 18 years old, that was my life, was getting chemotherapy, vomiting for about a week, you know, very weak. And then, you know, finally when I'd start to get my strength up after about 3 weeks, it was time to get another treatment. And whenever I wasn't vomiting or too sick, I just read my textbooks. And so I ended up actually ahead of my class and my textbooks, because for me that was a way of kind of keeping myself away from thinking about illness, was to just think about science and think about other things that were interesting to me. So I just studied, and man, I was a nerd before I got sick, but I was a teacher's pet afterwards, because the kids didn't know, you know, why I knew, like, the ending of all the textbooks. But it was just, for me, that was a way to function. And so, you know, the chemotherapy actually worked in that it did put me into a remission. And remission in medical words really just means that your disease is stable and not getting worse. And so my kidney function stabilized, and, you know, I was able to stop the chemotherapy after 2 years. And actually my last chemo was a week before I started college. So college was really a time for me of just amazing new beginnings. But I still had the disease. And remission, that's what it means, is you have the disease, but it's currently stable. It's not getting worse. If you take a blood test, definitely have lupus, but, you know, you're stable, you're not getting worse, you can keep moving on with life. And I actually was able to get through college staying in remission. I still had arthritis, and, you know, if I didn't get enough sleep, I would get migraines, but I was able to stay stable and not have any big relapses. And because I could control my sleep, and I was able to, you know, if I had too many finals in one day, they would give me, you know, one of the finals on the next day. So I, you know, because too much stress or poor sleep could hurt me. But when I got, I decided, you know, my doctor said, live a calm, peaceful life, not too much stress. And, you know, I decided I wanted to go to medical school. That was not really what they considered, you know, the best path. But for me, you know, I never wanted having lupus to take away my life, because really, you know, none of us knows how much time we have. None of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow. So I had a little information early on that my life might not be as long as other people. So I just wanted to live hard, you know, like to do as much as I could to enjoy my life and to help others. Like I wanted my life to mean something to other people too. So I thought by becoming a doctor, maybe I could help other people like myself find meaning, find purpose, and have less suffering. That was really my goal. And so I actually got into medical school. I graduated top of the class at Carnegie Mellon, and I got into medical school. And then, I did well, but it just, you know, they don't give a crap in medical school about if you need more sleep or you're stressed or, you know, there's no allowances for exams or, you know, it was, you know, this is the schedule. And, you know, I remember during my surgery rotation, one time I realized that I was working 100 hours a week. And I got sick. I got sick again in medical school. And it was really the scariest time of my life, because I started getting double vision where the whole world would break in half and I could see everything side by side. And it would last for maybe 30 seconds or a minute, and I'd have to hold on to something and wait for it to pass. And I knew something was wrong. And I went to my attending, which is, you know, your doctor that bosses you around while you're a med student. And I told her what was going on, and she kind of laughed it off that I was just another hypochondriac med student. And they exist. I mean, my roommate in med school, she thought she had whatever disease was the chapter we were reading, you know? And I'm like, you do not have mad cow disease. Like, you don't, you're like, you know, like it was just whatever we were reading. She's like, oh my God, I have this. And I was the opposite. I was like, I don't want any of that. Like, nope, not for me. Like, you know, but, you know, she really didn't take me seriously. And one day I was in the clinic, and I had been seeing patients, doing medical student stuff, you know, giving shots and taking blood and stuff like that. And I was charting in the office, and I suddenly got really confused. And I didn't really know. It's hard to describe, but I didn't know if I was awake or dreaming. I couldn't talk, and I couldn't figure out if I was really there or not, or if I had really seen patients that day, or if I had dreamt I'd seen patients. And I felt very hot, and I couldn't speak. And I remember looking at the other doctor, and I couldn't express what was happening. And I must have passed out, because the next thing I remember was that I woke up with my face on the chart, and the office was empty. They had left me there, and I think they must have believed that I was just another overworked medical student that passed out doing my work, you know. And so I woke up, and I still was confused, but I was a little bit better. And all I could think was, I need to get home. I need to get home. But I didn't know how to get home. And so I got my keys, and I went outside, and I got in my car. And, I mean, I'm just glad I didn't kill anybody, because I just couldn't think very clearly. But I started driving, and I was only a few blocks away. I only lived a few blocks away from the clinic. But every street was unfamiliar. I would stare at the street signs, and I didn't know where to go. But somehow my body knew. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you're not paying attention, but your body took you home, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of one of those things where nothing looked familiar, but somehow I got home. And I went to bed, and when I woke up a few hours later, I felt normal, but I knew I wasn't. And so at that point, I ended up going home. I still waited till the Thanksgiving break because, you know, it's med school. You don't mess around, you know. And so I went home. It was only a few days later, and my doctors were pretty freaked out. And I went and had a bunch of tests done, and it turned out that the lupus had come back, but it was causing antibodies that was making blood clots. It's called anticardiolipid B antibody. And so I actually had what's called a mini stroke or a transient ischemic attack, where the reason I was getting the double vision was passing blood clots into my head. And when I had that episode, I had one that was pretty serious, but thankfully dissolved and went away. I mean, I think there was no permanent damage. Some people say I'm more relatable now. I don't know. But, you know, it really, that was just a scary moment, because had it been a major stroke, I could have been dead, you know. So At that point in my life, they put me on injectable blood thinners, and they said, that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life. You have to inject these blood thinners, or you're going to have a major stroke or a pulmonary embolism, and that could be the end of you. And they also said you can never have children because that'll kill you. You know, between the blood clots and the kidney failure, it's just not something you can do. And it was just, it took me a couple weeks of mourning really to realize that, you know, it was getting worse, and I really didn't know how much time I had. But, you know, after that period, I just went back to that place of gratitude that I live in, really, and said, you know what, there's another treatment that's keeping me alive, and it's not over yet. And, you know, that's really what I believe. I think Western medicine is amazing for saving your life. It can save your life, but it'll never get you healthy. And so that is really what I try to do now, is help people with both, that, you know, Western medicine can bring you back from the brink, and it can keep you alive when things are trying to fail on you. But if you want to get healthy, you got to change how you eat. And I discovered that by accident. I discovered that when I met my husband, Thomas Cadlock. It was about 6 months after the blood clots. You know, I was finishing up medical school and really happy again and excited that I was, you know, I got my first choice for residency. And I was just excited that life was going to keep going. And then I met the most amazing person I've met to date. And Thomas is just an incredible man. I mean, he's pretty well known in the vegan community. He has a podcast, The Vegan Body Revolution. But at the time, he wasn't vegan. But when I met him, you know, he was still pretty well known in the fitness community. He was on MTV. He was their hottest body at the beach house, you know. So here's this guy who's incredibly handsome and very physically fit. But he was also at Carnegie Mellon. He's a brilliant scientist and just one of the kindest people I've ever met. And so when we met, it was just instant chemistry. We were just, at the end of the first month, we were talking about marriage. And I don't usually bring up my health history with people the first month of dating, because it's not really something that gets, like, turns a guy on. Like, hey, do you know that I have disease where I just, you know, my organs could fail and I could get a stroke, and, you know, it's not really a fun topic for dates. And I never really planned on marriage and babies and stuff, because that wasn't really, I just didn't focus on stuff that might not happen for me. I focused on what I could do, you know, like being a doctor and things like that. So when he brought that up, I realized I had to tell him, you know, everything. And so it all just kind of tumbled out, just my health history and everything I'd been through. And, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I have this disease where I'm not going to live a long life. I can't have children, and you're going to end up taking care of me if you marry me. It was maybe a heartbeat past, and he just said, I'd rather have a short life with you than a lifetime with anybody else. And if it's going to be short, it's going to be the best day of life you could ever have.
Brooke, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Let's go to the happy ending of that story. How did you get rid of the lupus?
How did I get rid of it? So what happened was, you know, at the time, Thomas was, he was well known for being able to create a fast metabolism. That's the research that he worked on, and he can create a fast metabolism in anyone at any age by changing their diet in a way that it nourishes their body, a huge amount of nourishment. And at the time, it wasn't a vegan diet, but it was very high on raw produce, but it also had some meat in it. Well, I'd been vegetarian since I was a kid, and so that wasn't happening. And so when we decided to get married, I wanted to look like the people on MTV that he was training. I wanted to look like that, you know? And, hey, why not? I'm a woman, right? And so, you know, I'd only ever dreamt of a white coat, but now that I was going to get a white dress, I wanted to look amazing. We're getting married in Maui, you know? I said, this is going to be so amazing, so I want to look hot. So I asked him to create a program for me, and he did, and it became something he called the Dream Body Program because it was for my dreams. And what he did was he made a vegetarian version of his program, but because it was supposed to be high metabolism, there are certain foods that are not allowed, like dairy, which makes you fat. It's one of the most fattening foods there is, you know, and all this stuff. So I ended up becoming vegan for that program. And so in 4 months, I went from a size 10, 11 to a size 3. I was totally ripped. I looked amazing. But the best part of it was that I felt the best I'd ever felt in my life. And so I was an intern, you know, working better hours, but working still 80 hours a week. And I had amazing energy. I had no arthritis. I had no headaches. I felt so strong. And so I decided I'm just going to eat like this because I feel great. Well, we didn't expect anything to happen to me in terms of, you know, there's no cure for lupus. I just graduated medical school. I knew there was no cure for lupus, you know. Nutrition doesn't do anything for disease. I knew that. I didn't go to school to learn nothing, right? So I went to my new doctors in California who had all my health history, and I went to take my blood test before we went to our wedding in Hawaii. And I had my blood test, and the guy said, you know, the Lucas tests are negative. And I said, you know, what do you mean? They can't be negative. And he said, I don't know. He said, the Lucas tests are negative. And the test for the blood clot antibody, those are only on the high side of normal, which normally we wouldn't even treat, except for your history. Of course, you keep taking it. He goes, I don't know. This says, I don't think these are your blood tests, because lupus tests never go negative once they're positive. It just doesn't. So he said, go enjoy your wedding, come back, we'll retake the test, we'll figure it out. So I go and I retake the test, and we have an incredible wedding. And we then retake the test, and we come back to the doctor's office, and he comes in with a medical student, and he says, Ms. Goldner alleges to have lupus, but we can't find it. I said, I allege? Am I on the stand? No, I don't want lupus. It was, now all the blood clotting antibody stuff, that was completely normal. There's no sign of lupus. Plus, my genetically high cholesterol was now optimal. My heart rate and blood pressure were like of an athlete, which, you know, I'm not an athlete. And every single time I went back, the test got better and better, to the point that he actually fired me. My rheumatologist fired me and said, you know, if you ever get sick, let me know, but you're just taking up space here that we don't need. So, so he let me go. After a few years, after a whole year of being healthy, I finally went off the blood thinners because I was terrified to stop them, but I had no signs of disease. And so I finally went off those, and I was still ridiculously healthy. And after about 4 years of being ridiculously healthy, I said, you know what, I want a baby, and freaked my whole freaking family out. Like, they're like, what's wrong with you? You're healthy. Everything's good. Don't mess it up. You know, we asked the doctors, and they said, no, don't do it. If you, we don't know what happened to you, but definitely lupus will come back if you get pregnant. Like, that's a death sentence. We don't know why, but it will come back. And then I get pregnant because I'm like, I can do this. I can do this. And I get pregnant, and I'm fine. And they send me to the high-risk OB, and she sends me back because there's nothing wrong with me. And then they go, but the lupus will come back when you give birth, because that is going to come back. I mean, there's like this little, I was Dorothy, and it was like the Wicked Witch, you know, like it's coming back, you know, I'll get you. So I have to have a C-section because my son was breached butt first. If you met him, you'd understand. And so I have to go, and I get the C-section, and I'm up walking around the same day. I feel great. And they just cut me open. I feel great. And my doctor comes in. I said, you're one hell of a surgeon, because I feel great. And she goes, hey, I'm a great surgeon, but you have an unusual ability to heal. And that just blew my mind, because that's what it was. I had gone from someone who could not even heal a wound. If I got a pimple, I'd get an infection that required antibiotics. And now I can heal anything. I don't get sick at all anymore. And so now it's been years. I mean, at that point, I was very healthy. And you know, I wasn't stripped then, because I was when I got healthy, but I didn't understand what happened. None of us did. So I had the occasional, you know, cheese or something. But for the most part, lived vegan and stayed very healthy. And then when I found out, you know, when my son was older, about, you know, the dairy industry and all the rest of it, then that was it forever. It's been a remarkable journey. And so my husband and I realized after we had our first son that what happened to us, this was something important and something remarkable. So we've spent the last 8-9 years researching what happens on a biological cellular level when you expose yourself to different kinds of foods. And what we found is that there are foods that cause disease, and there are foods that allow healing to take place. And that's what we've dedicated our lives to. I was a medical director at a nonprofit in Long Beach and absolutely adored it. But I retired from that to just dedicate my life to teaching people how to heal and get off medication. And that's what we do. I have a new book, Goodbye Lupus, that went bestseller in the pre-orders. And it's just been the most amazing thing in my life to help people heal so that they truly can live their purpose and have the most vibrant life that they were meant to have.
That's a fascinating story, Brooke. I'm sure our listeners want to learn more. Can you tell us the website where they can find out more about your book, Goodbye Lupus, and more about your work?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So veganmedicaldoctor.com, just veganmedicaldoctor.com. That has all of my information, a link for people who want a free consultation just to meet me and talk to me. My books, all of that stuff is there. And also for people who are on Facebook, facebook.com/drgoldner, Dr. Goldner. I post stuff every day to motivate people to get healthy, whether it's psychological or physical health. I just love doing that. So, yeah, I love when people reach out to me. And so anyone who emails me or calls me or writes me on Facebook, I always answer every single person personally.
Thank you so much, Brooke. It's been great pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much.